Hello, everybody, and welcome to this. It's kind of a test. It's the very first in my series of webinars, Zoom calls, if you like to call them that. And I'm calling it the Infinity Cafe chat webinar thing with Sabin Paris. And I should explain a little bit about what's going to happen. I've been meaning to do this for a long time. In other words, put myself out there, not worry too much about what's going to happen, because you can't guess what's going to happen anyway, and just get on with it. Because if there's one thing I've learned in life, it's that when you do something, when you take action, there is always a reaction. And you have no idea what it's going to be. But one, it's normally good. It's normally positive. Very few reactions to something that you try to do or that you try doing, which in itself is an interesting thing, very, very few of the reactions you will get will be negative. And secondly, if you do something, if the reaction isn't so positive, you will still learn from it. So you can't actually lose. You can't actually lose by taking action. The alternative is taking no action, doing nothing. And what generally happens when you do nothing is nothing. So not only do you not get any reactions, you don't learn anything, and you don't bring pleasure to millions of people by your creative sharing of whatever it is you're doing. So I'm all for actions, and I encourage others to do so. I'll say sort of reasonably humbly, because I'm doing this for one reason, is to encourage other people to dare to do things like this. So I'm not saying for a second that what I'm doing is wonderful, but I am saying, look at me daring to do something. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't really prepared. And I'm not claiming that what I am saying is that amazing. A lot of what I say and publish and write about is just rehashed stuff that other people have already said. And this comes on to something I might touch on later, in that very little of what we say is original, the big ideas. If you look at it, you can explore throughout your life. I've been exploring. You discover one thing, you think you discover it. Then you discover another thing which kind of replaces or outmodes the other thing. Then you place another thing which is even better than that, and it goes on and on and on. And it seems like there's no end. But every time this happens, you share it, and you think you've discovered the new truth, the new way of really understanding life and so on. And you share it, and that's nice. But it gets to the point where you realize that you're not doing anything original. It's all been said before. But, and this is what I really wanted to say, so do you then stop sharing what you've discovered about life because you think everyone said it already? I would say no, because as long as you're adding something new to it, even if it's just sharing ideas in your own original way, and by the way, it can't be anything else because you are original, then that's great. So let me tell you about the structure for this meeting. The idea is, I'm going to try and share a screen. The last time I did this on this last, the webinar before, which was an hour before, in French. Okay, so this is supposed to be every week, an hour in French, and then the same topics, but of course, it'll be completely different, because apart from the language, we'll have different people, and the subjects will go that way instead of this way. But I'll be starting off with the same kicking off points. So it'll be weekly. And the idea is that you can come along, we can have a chat about stuff, creative stuff. We don't know what's going to happen, but loads of good things probably will. So, what I wanted to say was, in my last meeting, I tried sharing the screen after 10 minutes. I realized that to stop sharing the screen, there was a button which said stop, and I had to click it. But I thought that was going to stop the whole meeting. So I spent the whole webinar looking at my dead screen. So that wasn't too amazing. I've got someone outside who might just want to say hello. Is there someone out there? Oh, it's the cat. The cat. Oh, there's a cat. I will show you the cat. Come here. I'm just going to show you where I am at the moment. Here's a cat. Okay, this is a cat, my son's cat, and she is called Myrtille. I won't put her on the computer because because she might press buttons which she shouldn't. So she can go out. Okay, so here's the structure for the webinars. First of all, it's relaxed, it's fun, there's no pressure. And that's one thing I want to demonstrate. It doesn't matter what you do, just have a go. So there is a structure, and I'm going to try and share my screen and try and unshare it successfully after a couple of minutes. So here we go. Hopefully you can see that. It says Infinite Chat Cafe with Sab in Paris. That's me. Not exactly in Paris, but I'm not far. And Paris is my muse. The Eiffel Tower is my secret lover. So we're going to talk by talking about a little bit about my week to inspire you, hopefully. I'm going to give you a Paris metaphor. I'm writing a book at the moment called something like Paris as a Metaphor. So these are metaphors to help us see life in various ways and to help us move on in our thoughts if we want to. Based on Paris, my experience of 25 years in Paris, nevertheless, that's not bad, is it? Then Sab's curiosities. Well, this is basically stuff I've come across. I've stumbled across. It could be an interesting message on a Facebook page or group or an article or something like that that has just made me think. My creative selection. I create every week, and I will share a couple of things that I've created and see what happens. If it stimulates stuff, it's not for you to agree with or to say that you like, but it is hopefully to stimulate some sort of exchange. That's what counts. And then open question time. Well, you can ask questions at any time, but I'm going to try and keep this structure for the first part. And at the end, it's let's talk about whatever. Now I'm going to try and unshare my screen. This is where I got stuck on this screen for the rest of the webinar, which was kind of a pain. But if you ever do listen to it in French, you'll see that we kind of tried to salvage things. I'm back. Yes. So hopefully now you should just see me if you want to, or maybe the other participants as well. Now then, so what I said was I would give you a warning why I'm here and my creative week. So the warning is I'm in a place which is not necessarily where I'm going to do it from each week. It's in a house where the Wi-Fi connection isn't possibly that amazing. I'm doing it on my computer's camera for once, which is not what I normally do. I normally have a better quality camera. And I'm doing it on my computer's microphone, and I normally have a much better quality microphone. So there's an excuse for not doing it. I could easily have said, the sound quality won't be that good. The visuals won't be that good. I've only got one screen. I normally have two. The Wi-Fi connection could be a bit dodgy. My son might interrupt me or his cat. I won't do it. I'm doing it. Stuff the excuses. If I'm not doing it, I won't get any reaction and nothing will move on. We are creative beings. We love change. We're made for it. We're made to anticipate it. And if change stops in our life, if there is no more change, if we know what to do, hey, I've got someone coming on. If we know what to do, what would be the incentive for carrying on? Hello. Can you hear me? I'm going to activate Annabelle. Ah, I activated her and she unactivated. Hello.
Hello. I can hear you. I can see you.
Amazing. Yes. And here I am. I'm doing my my webinar.
Yay.
Yes, it's great, isn't it? So you are, well, you are my audience.
That's great. I feel so cool.
Yeah, I've just done 1 hour in French.
How was it?
It was interesting. I had two people. One was on a train.
Oh.
And she couldn't talk, but she could hear.
Okay.
But she spent most of the time walking around the train, I think trying to either trying to get away from me or trying to get a better Wi-Fi connection. So she was on a train. I was communicating with someone flying through space and time, which was pretty cool.
That's cool.
And I had someone else who managed to stick with me for the whole hour, even though after 10 minutes, I managed to, I tried to share my screen. So I shared my screen. But then I got stuck. I couldn't go back to me. So I couldn't see anything except my stupid shared screen for the rest of the hour.
And I didn't figure this out yet with Zoom.
Yeah, there was a button up top. It says quit or kite or stop. And that means stop sharing the screen.
Okay.
But I thought it was stop the meeting, so I didn't press it. So I had to look at my stupid shared screen and I couldn't see anyone for the rest of the... So now I know. So my moral of this story was, don't panic, carry on, and now I know. And I have a nice little moral for the story.
That's great.
So I won't bore people who watch the replay, if they do, too much, but I will show you this, Annabelle. Look, I shared this screen because I know how to. And I shared this. Can you see all that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so there's various parts. The beginning, why I'm here, a little bit about my creative week, a Paris metaphor to help us. I'm writing this book about metaphors for life seen through the eyes of Paris.
Okay.
Or someone who has lived in Paris. Of course, it could be any town, that's the thing. But it, for me, it's Paris. Mm-hmm. Then a curiosity, you know, it could be an article or something I've read on a blog or even something that you've written, for example, that has caught my attention. And I'll talk about it, maybe say what I think about it, and then get some feedback.
Okay.
Then we have my creative selection. This can change from week to week, of course, but my idea is to show a photo or something I've written and to see what that stimulates in people's heads. Mm-hmm. At the end, time for questions, of course, but there could be any time. After each of these things, I'll ask questions and we can discuss it. So that's it. This is where I clicked the button, which I thought was going to stop the call. But no, I'm just back.
Yes.
Yay.
So, okay, good. So I'm going to say why. The warning is that the connection might be not that be great. If it stops, I'll try and come back. Don't go away. The quality may not be that good. But my little lesson here was I'm doing it anyway. Because I had about 5 or 6 reasons why not to do this call. I'm not in my house. The quality, the Wi-Fi is not great. I might get interrupted. I'm not sure if the camera on my screen is not the one I normally use. The sound is bad. All of these excuses, it would be so easy to have canceled. Plus, yeah, Probably no one would come. But I did it. Actually, it's your fault as much as anything else. So I did it, and I did it. So I'm doing it again. So there's that. Why I'm here? Well, this could change from week to week. I expect it will. But here's how I'll say it this time. One of my little mottos in life at the moment is to learn, to create, and to share. So I learn by reading people's articles, by visiting people's blogs, by discussing with people. And this feeds my creations.
Mm-hmm.
And I create stuff based on all this input plus whatever goes on inside here. And then I share, because for me, the creative process isn't finished until it's touched, it's landed in somebody else's court. That's, for me, the definition of creation is I create something and I give it to someone and it leaves me. And at some point it's in the middle of the air and then it touches someone else.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I might take a photo. Then it leaves me. I publish it. I put it on the website and it sits there. And then, and it's kind of on its own. It almost exists, you know, its own little life. And then someone clicks on the website and sees it, and bam, it goes into them. It enters them. And that is the end of the creative process for me. Because it will have touched them. It'll make them think,
mm-hmm.
learning from it maybe, and they will start creating. And the cycle goes on. And what might happen is that when I share, I get feedback from my creations, mm-hmm. or reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And those reactions, I learn from those reactions. And that gives me new material for my next creations. So it goes on and on and on like this. So that's why I'm doing it. That's today's explanation. My creative week was pretty good. I just wanted to say, I'm going to just give a little bit of news on my creative week. This week it was good because I wasn't feeling particularly creative or particularly positive, not negative, but I was just, you know, I'd had this idea, I'd like to set up in business, do my own thing and so on. But life was just going on. But I was kind of trusting life. I wasn't pushing it, but I was open. There was this event in the local town hall, an entrepreneur's breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like going, but I thought, well, okay, well, you know, well, just do it. You don't know what's going to happen. And so I did.
When was that?
When was it?
Yeah.
It was about 10 days ago.
Okay.
And all I had on my plate for 10 days ago was running my little association for English, and which was okay, but it's certainly not going as fast as I'd like it to, and it's not leading anywhere really. And still sort of dreaming about setting up in business and all the rest of it as a coach or helping families, kids with problems. So this wasn't going anywhere, but I wasn't too stressed about it. I take life kind of easy, but I wanted to keep myself open to opportunities. So I went to this entrepreneur's breakfast, and the result is, to cut a long story short, literally after 10 days, this is the mock-up of the plaque that is going to be on the door of my cabinet in a medical center. It looks like this.
Oh.
And this is going to be next to the escalator, next to the lift.
Yay!
It's a mock-up, but this is the guy. This isn't me that did it. So this is real. This is happening. And this is what he did for outside the medical cabinet. It's a joke. I'm not a doctor. But sometimes people kind of believe things you tell them. Have you noticed that? So this is going to be in the street in my town, in the street.
Oh, I love this.
Funny, huh? So,
okay.
So not only did, I mean, I just met someone who knew someone who said, oh, well, you know, I know someone who's got a place free in the new medical center. And I said, I'm not a doctor. I shouldn't have said that. I should have said, oh, really? I said, no, I'm not a doctor. But luckily he ignored me. And said, yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Talk to her anyway. And, you know, just cut a long story short. By keeping myself open, it seems like a joke. You know, it's just a stupid joke. Me, little me, having a cabinet in a medical center with four other doctors around me and patients sitting downstairs in rows waiting to be seen. So, but having said that, you know, I'm kind of making myself a little bit less good than I am, because I do see people. I can, you know, I do talk to people about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the moral of the story is, keep yourself open. You never know what's going to happen, and good things will happen.
Right.
Having said that, maybe next week they'll say, we're sorry, it's not available. But I want my mind to be in a state that I'll say, fair enough. Live in the moment, man.
Yes.
So that was my week. What about your week? How's your week been? Tell us. What's the most interesting or creative thing that's happened to you this week, Annabelle?
The most interesting thing was, let me think. I got my certification to officially that I'm a life coach now. I finished it.
You know life, huh?
I'm not an amateur anymore. It's
excellent. It's okay. That's changed everything. That piece of paper has changed everything.
Everything.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Well, it can help.
Sorry?
It can help. It can help boost your confidence. It's just a piece of paper, but it can boost your confidence, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it does a bit.
You know, it's like this, just to very quickly interrupt, it's like this. This is literally a piece of paper.
It's just paper, but...
But somehow now I believe that I am what I said I was. How stupid is that? You know, anyway.
Right.
So now that you're a proper life coach, how have things changed for you?
You know, well, nothing changed, actually.
Fair enough.
No.
Or maybe everything.
But maybe my confidence a bit.
Mm.
Yeah, I felt kind of relieved that I don't need to spend so much time on studying anymore. Well, I still am, because I need to get a little piece to do the master coaching certification. So
you've got your certificate, but it's not.
Well, it's not a certificate, but it's just a piece of paper.
Okay. And the next certificate, the master coach, will that be, that won't be just a piece of paper. What will that be? Plastic, metal?
I think it
balloons will, in the sky.
I think it will be balloons in the sky.
Okay. And that's the real one. Then you will really, really be a coach.
when I will be surrounded by rainbows all over, all the time.
Mm.
And unicorns flying around. Maybe I'm going to ride on a unicorn all the time.
I think that's the next level after master coach. There's the standard coach, there's master coach, and then there's rainbow coach. And then...
Oh, yes.
Then there's dream catcher coach. So you've got a way to go yet.
Yeah, I still have a lot
of... But the dream catcher coach can just do that, and they are a dream catcher coach.
Exactly.
Well, my little story about that is... I truly believed, well, I thought it would be a good idea to get an official French coaching qualification.
Mm-hmm.
The French love qualifications. They're obsessed by them. They judge you on them. They run after them. They think their life depends on them. They think they use them as badges.
Yeah.
They have the back. I don't know if you know about France. They have the back, le baccalauréat.
Mm-hmm.
And they study for years and they take it about 18. This is the basis. If you don't have the back, you're really, you know, probably a nobody. But right. That's not enough, because too many people have it. So now you have to have back plus a certain number of years of studies. But it's not just plus a certain number of years. It becomes a number. It's part of your badge. It's back plus 3 if you've studied for 3 years. Back plus 4. Back plus 4. So the game is to have back plus, so back is B-A-C, B-A-C.
Yes.
Back plus the biggest number possible.
Okay.
So if you've got back plus 6, like, wow, this person is really intelligent, clever. You know, it's bull. It's complete bull.
Yes, it is.
But too many people have decided to believe this. Too many people have decided to believe it. To stop the system. Nobody wants to burst the balloon and say, actually, there are some really good employees or potential employees who don't even have the back. They've got this little system. And they've all bought into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. So anyway, my story is that I thought I should get a coaching qualification. I'd be more respected by companies, by other people, by other coaches, blah, blah, blah. So I paid about 5,000 euros of my money to do a coaching qualification. I did a standard French coaching qualification with letters after my name, you know, Samuel, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, I would arrive when I got that. So I paid my 5,000. I went to the 12 days intensive training. I started being coached by my coach. I started coaching other guinea pigs. We did peer coaching, co-coaching.
Yeah.
We'd get together for an hour. I'd coach them, one person for half an hour, they'd coach me. I started studying all the online materials. I started preparing for you had to write this thing called a memoir. It's like this long bloody thing.
Yes.
About your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw my coach for the last time before, you have to have a coach to do this qualification. I saw my coach for the last time before taking the qualification.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd given me coaching like, you know, what's your objective? Okay, how do you think you're going to get there? What do you need to do first? Okay, do you want to commit to that for next week? You know, all this sort of classic coaching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she asked me one question on our last session. And this was the best question she asked me in the entire 8 weeks or 10 weeks we saw each other. And that was, she said, Are you sure you want to do this qualification? And I said, yeah, of course I am. And then I went away, and I kind of, the question worked on my head. It was going around.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that actually the answer was no. I didn't want to do it. And I didn't do it. I didn't do the qualification. Because at the same time as studying this qualification and the typical techniques for coaching that I was learning, I realized that wasn't how I wanted to coach. Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't want the label of French coach with the letters. I didn't want it in the end because it didn't represent me. It was a label. I fight against labels. I try to help people understand the danger of all the labels that get stuck to us. You know, labels like stupid, you'll never be an artist. It's clear you're not going to be a mathematician, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly realized for me, just for me, not for anybody else, this was going to be a label and I don't like labels. So I quit. I didn't turn up for the exam. And some people said, you idiot, what a waste of money. But it wasn't for me because I learnt the French coaching system, or at least, you know, I saw what it was about. I read books on it and I kind of understand what it is now. Of course, every coach is different. That's fine, you know, mm-hmm. not criticizing any coach. But it wasn't right for me. And that 5,000 euros that I wasted, well, I didn't waste it because it taught me a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
If you realize that what you're doing isn't right for you, well, just stop doing it.
Exactly.
Money doesn't have any meaning. It's just bits of paper. It's, you know, do what feels right for you. And now I'm proud that I didn't do it. Not because I don't like the French coaching system, mm-hmm. because it wasn't right for me. And now I can tell people, look, I thought some people said I was wasting 5,000 euros. Not for me. What about you? What should you be? What would you like to do? But you're not doing it because people will think that you're being an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
End of story.
That's a great story.
Still you and me. The only one that's turned up to my first wonderful cafe, creative cafe. But there will be more. There will be more.
There will be more, for sure.
Okay. So here's my next thing. Look, a Paris metaphor. See what you think of this. So this, I've got this idea for a book. It's using Paris as a metaphor. It's not, doesn't mean that other cities aren't as good as Paris, but this is where I've lived for 25 years. And I started seeing metaphors. So I was by the Seine, the River Seine, the other day. And I saw a boat going past. And the boat went past, and in its wake were the ripples, you know, the ripples.
Mm-hmm.
That followed the boat, that went out from the sides of the boat. And the Seine was going like this, and it reminded me of the sea and the waves in the sea. And we tend to think of waves and ripples as things, you know, real things. You get really good waves at this beach. It's amazing for surfing. And we think that the wave is a thing, separate mm-hmm. from the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the big wave. Catch that wave, as though it was a separate thing. But in fact, it's not a separate thing. It's just the sea. It's a bit of the sea doing sea type things, being a bit of sea. Some bits of sea are quiet and deep and don't move much. Other bits of the sea are higher and move in a different way. I'm getting to the metaphor. But, you know, if you tried to take that wave, oh, look at that amazing wave. If you tried to catch it, or, you know, you get a big bucket or a big cup and you try to catch, here comes the wave, got it, here's the wave, look. It wouldn't be a wave anymore. It would just be wet, flat water mm-hmm. or dripping water. And the metaphor is we try to see things as separate, whereas in fact they're not. A wave isn't separate. It's just part of the sea doing something that the sea does. And the metaphor is, aren't we a bit like waves? We think that we're separate from the rest of everything, We think that we're separate from other people. I think that I'm separate from you. I think that I'm separate from this wall. I think that I'm separate or different from someone living in India. We seem really to be separate, you know, like it seems like we have, if I say, what am I? What is me? What is my wave? I'd say, well, it's where my skin stops. You know, look, going from the outside, going from the inside out, I'm going towards the edge of my arm, bing, I hit my skin. That's the end of me. Mm-hmm. Then it's something else. Then it's the air, and then it's you. But I'm not sure that's true. I saw this thing the other day on a molecular level. If you look at us under a microscope, the edge of our skin is actually a bit vague. It's a bit difficult to see. If we are looking at the molecules, it's a bit difficult to see where our skin actually stops and the air begins. Mm-hmm. Because in fact, there's a lot of air in our molecules. You know, we're supposed to be, apparently they're vibrating so fast that they seem solid. You can't get through them, but it's just because they're vibrating fast. And the air isn't vibrating very fast, so we can move through it more easily. But it's not so strange to think that we're actually not really separate, because, well, for example, when we die, whatever that is, we do kind of rejoin the earth. You know, we sink into the earth and we become indistinguishable from it.
Right.
And before we came along, where were we? That's kind of difficult to work out as well. And without our parents, I mean, I was, a few years ago, I was literally a kind of little growth in my mother's body. I wasn't separate from her in skin-wise. Mm-hmm. I was even inside her. And then suddenly, I kind of got separated, and I had to be cut. I was part of her body. I was part of my mother in this physical way,
mm-hmm.
until they cut me, literally cut me. So I'm not really separate from my mother. I'm almost my mother, if we want to look at bodies as the thing that we are. I am my body. Yeah, but I was attached to my mother, and I wasn't separated naturally. I had to be cut with scissors. So I'm actually my mother. I'm a bit of my mother. And then we can kind of think of, you know, the sperm and the egg. Well, that's kind of a bit of me, really, isn't it? To make a new baby. And then, you know, this planet, we wouldn't actually exist if this planet wasn't here. You know, we wouldn't, if you took the planet away, what would we be standing on? I couldn't be floating in air being me. It wouldn't be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And even without other people, you know, without you, I couldn't be here, because without anybody else, you can't, a species is made of many so-called individuals, but it's still a kind of a whole, isn't it? You know? The human species, any other species. So it's not my theory, you know, it's a kind of a common thought experiment. We're not really separate at all. We seem to be separate. We seem to be limited by the edge of our skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at all convinced that that's true anymore. And if this is true, when you look at somebody else, you can think, there's a bit of me. I'm that species, or I'm the same kind of life on this planet that dog is, or that flower is. And if you can see things like that, that we're not really different,
mm-hmm.
there'd be a lot less conflict.
Oh yes, for sure.
And these aren't my ideas, you know, these are just ideas that I'm absorbing as time goes on, forever open to new ideas. But I'm not ashamed of sharing them, because although the ideas are very, very old, I'm telling them in my way for the first time ever. And I'll be touching people who have never heard them before, or who have never heard them from me. And that's why I'm okay about talking about ideas that I know are not original. And the same for you, you know? I hear some things that you say. You've been talking about fear recently.
Yes.
You're not the first person to have talked about fear.
Right.
But it's the first time I've heard you talking about fear, and you tell it your way. And that gives me something new, and I like that. What do you think of all that? What do you think of this little metaphor of the waves for humans? We're not really separate after all.
I do believe that we're not separate, too. We all come from the same source. in some way. So, yeah, and it would just, there would be so much less conflict if everyone would understand this. Because that's how wars begin. That's how any kind of conflict begin. It's when other people think that they are superior to someone else.
And when you say that, so many people think they're superior in some way or another, either their race or their football team or their intelligence. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't even say that we're equal. I'm moving towards, you know, I'm forever moving in my ideas. I hopefully progressing, but it doesn't matter. And before I would have said, no, no, we're all equal, really. But now I'm moving on again. And I'm moving towards we're all the same. We're all part of the same thing. We're not even equal. It's not that this human being and me, we're worth the same. Mm-hmm. I'm even moving more towards we're actually the same. We're literally the same thing. We're the same universe. And these barriers, these false barriers, it's moving into an area of spirituality, which I'm nervous about. You know, I don't really like, I'm a bit nervous about the word spirituality because people, it gets a bit strange. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets towards, you know, some sort of, maybe some sort of religion, maybe strange ideas. Blah, blah, blah. But religions are terrible for thinking that they're better than other religions. So,
yeah.
So I try to avoid that. But I can't avoid moving more towards the idea that we're all...
Oh, hey, Doherty.
Okay, are you in the train, Doherty? Are you still in the train? And let me see if I can... Maybe she's muted. Can you talk to us, Doherty, or not? Can you hear us? Activate. I'm going to activate her. Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello, yes, I can hear you. Are you in the train still?
No, I'm at home. At home.
My God, she was one of the two people I had, Annabelle, on my first call in French. And really? She couldn't even speak. Yeah. And she came back for more.
Yay!
Yeah!
Are you crazy?
I couldn't say anything.
Oh, God. Yeah. That must have been frustrating. So I've discovered the problem I had. There was a button at the top. When I shared the screen, there was a button at the top which said, quit, quitte. Uh-huh. And I thought this was to quit the meeting, to stop the Zoom call. Mm-hmm. But it was to stop the screen sharing.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay.
What an idiot. No, I'm not an idiot. I was learning. It was a part of the learning process. So, yes. All right.
And I tried to put a chat, make a chat thing, and I disappeared too.
Okay. All right. Well, now you're back.
I'm back.
All right. So, yeah, I was just talking, I was just sharing my metaphor of the waves on the sea. We think mm-hmm. the waves are separate from the sea, but in fact, they're just part of the sea. And as humans, we think we're separate from everything else outside of our skin. Mm-hmm. But I'm moving towards thinking that that's not really true. What do you think? How separate are we, each individual human? Are we really separate?
Not all the time. It depends if you are in the wave or not.
That sounds really deep and clever and intelligent, but I don't know if I understood it. In the wave. So what do you mean by in the wave?
When you're stillness, it's like I've been in the wave, like in the Mind Valley wave. We are in a wave, in the development wave, so we are all mm-hmm. connected mm-hmm. together. But sometimes I disconnect and I'm just with me. I have my body and I'm not connected with the field. But this morning I had somebody from Malaysia who wanted to chat. So I did wake up four in the morning.
Wow.
And I didn't know why. But then I got a message from her. So I was connected with her. without knowing. Hi.
Okay, let me, we have spent quite a while on this metaphor, so I'm going to move on. So my idea is that it'll last an hour and not more. So we're on, oh my God, and I believe it, 3/4 of an hour. Annabelle, how is it possible?
I don't know.
Okay, so let me move on. So I had a Paris metaphor, I've done that. My curiosities, okay, so my curiosities, this week I bought this magazine. I think you heard me, Dorothée, but you didn't have a chance to contribute. So this, I just saw this magazine in the shop and I bought it, a psychology magazine. So it's kind of pop psychology, popular psychology, you know, to help the standard person. And it's on things like our emotions and all the rest of it. But I didn't buy it for that. I bought it for this, which is My Ado, Mon Ado et Moi, My Adolescent and Me. And my first, I thought that would be interesting because I have to talk to parents about their adolescent and they have problems with their adolescence sometimes. Because adolescents are kind of strange, you know, they do weird stuff. They don't want to talk to their parents anymore. They wear weird clothes and listen to horrible music. They don't take their exams seriously, blah, blah, blah. And my first reaction on I haven't read this. It's all interesting stuff, I'm sure. But my first reaction was, it says, my adolescent and me. My, that means belongs to. So who belongs to whom? So this is suggesting that the adolescent, the teenager, belongs to their parents. And when someone belongs to someone else or something belongs to you, it should do what you want them to do. That's the implication. My adolescent doesn't, well, do what I want, basically. You know, that's the thing. You could give all the examples. Doesn't tidy their room. Doesn't study for their exams. Doesn't tell me what they've done all day. As though they should, you know, because it's mine. It's my adolescent. But then they didn't ask to be created. And they're not going to stick with you forever. And to what extent should they do what we want, what parents want them to do? So that was just my little thought in brackets. And then there's all the techniques for dealing with your adolescent who is having problems. I don't know. Do you think there's really problems? What is it with adolescents? Maybe there's nothing. Maybe they're just being adolescents and we should stop thinking there's any problem with it at all. What do you think?
I think there's no problem with adolescents. It's all a perspective of, I think we always see what we want to see or we don't see what we don't want to see. So I don't know. I'm working currently in an educational center and there are like a lot of adolescents who are in their IT qualification and they're all super nice and super friendly and very, they're just great teenagers. I don't have anything against.
But you're not their parent.
I'm not their parent. They don't belong to me.
They're not your adolescents. They're somebody else's.
They're not mine. No.
Although some teachers, they say, my class, my kids.
Yeah.
And then there is a feeling that their kids should nevertheless do what they ask them. I don't know to what extent can someone, another human being, belong to. I mean, even when you give birth to a human being, you know, like I said in the last section, I was literally a physical part of my mother. If we imagine that skin is the limits of skin makes you a thing, I was part of my mother. But then she cut the thing, you know, so kind of, do I still belong to her? Am I still part of her? Does there come a point where I'm not her essence or I'm her kid? When can we let go? When should we let go of our kids and or when should we break away from our parents, seen from the other point of view? You know, at what point do we stop needing our parents? Ever? At what point does independence kick in?
That's a hard question. I always say that...
Should we...
What?
I was going to say, should we insist that our adolescent kids study hard for their exams or just let them do their own thing? I mean, they're probably not going to die if they don't pass their exams. So what's the big deal?
I used to say that to my kids that it's just their freedom. So if they want freedom in the future, they have to work now. And they did.
Did they
took the responsibility themselves.
And if they didn't work hard, did you give them, did you punish them?
No, I didn't.
But you gave them your advice.
I tried to help them, and they were very goal-oriented by themselves. It came from them. Mm. It didn't came from me.
Mm-hmm. Annabelle, what was your experience? I don't think you've got kids, but...
I don't have kids, but I used to be an adolescent.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Fair enough. what are your memories of that time?
It's funny because I always wanted to study. But I didn't know what. I just knew that I wanted to...
Try life.
Yeah, just study something and then see where it's going to lead me. And I had this perception that if I have this piece of paper, right? We're back to the piece of paper. If I have a piece of paper, it gives me the freedom to do whatever I want to do without that piece of paper. Right, I had that perception as an adolescent. But because I didn't know where I wanted to go, I just knew that I wanted to have my freedom. My dad told me, you're not going to do your studies. You need to earn money. So I don't care if you want to study unless you tell me what you want to study now. I'm like, okay. So I didn't study. I didn't do my buck. So... But I'm here and I do have a piece of paper and it's all good.
But you are back minus three then.
at least. Oh,
three. I don't know if we can continue the conversation. I'm sorry. I want a minimum of back plus trois. Sinon.
Right. Maybe I have a back minus maybe 100.
Okay. Wow. It's impressive. I like it. Yeah, we had a big discussion about the back, Dorothy, earlier on. The importance of, you know, back plus the maximum and to what extent that's really important in life. I had this little thought explosion of my own when I realized that I was going to have a cabinet, if it happens, with all these doctors and stuff. And people might say, ah, so you've got this word psi, you know, psychopedagogue. Ah, okay, but they might question my legitimité, you know, my, I don't know what it is in English. Mm-hmm. And I imagine someone saying, but you are qualified, right? And I imagine myself saying, yeah, of course I am. And I can imagine them going, ooh, all right, that's okay then. Right, carry on. As though, without showing them any qualification, as though, you know, they need this. It's as though I changed in their eyes, you know. It was the same person. If I said, no, I don't have a qualification that you might have heard of, or if I say, yes, I have got a qualification that you might have heard of, it's still me. But in their mind, if I say, yeah, of course I have, without showing them it, they go, oh, okay. It's very strange, isn't it? Something would have changed in them. Even if the qualification doesn't exist, they would have seen me in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with that thought. It's just curious, you know, it's just a curious thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of intriguing. To the extent to which we like these labels. They reassure us. Labels reassure us. I would never choose someone based on their... In fact, I almost go negative. I feel negatively towards people who have qualifications sometimes because it worries me. They've spent so much time studying this precise subject to such an extent they've got a high qualification. What haven't they done in life? What haven't they experienced? All that time studying for this little thing, they weren't, you know, traveling the world. They weren't getting drunk. They weren't watching crazy films. They were missing out on true life experience. I'm exaggerating, of course. But, you know, mm-hmm. I don't automatically respect someone because they have a certain qualification. Mm-hmm. I don't. That's not part of life. You know, that's the thing we invented. Qualifications are invented. There's too many variables. We don't know what they did whilst qualifying. Maybe they paid the examiner to pass them. We don't know, you know. Right? You've just got to have the person in front of you, exchange with them, and see what how you feel. I think that's what it comes down to.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think it's down to. Any comments on that?
I totally agree. Totally.
Okay. Right, we've got 5 minutes.
Oh.
And the other thing to talk about was my creative selection. And this isn't to talk about me. It's to stimulate stuff because my creations are supposed to stimulate ideas. So this week, I'm just going to share my screen if I can. So, partager l'écran. I'm in French. My computer speaks French. Okay, and I'm sharing a screen now. I can't. Sorry, I'm going to have to stop. Yeah, there we are. Okay, so I'm going to make this big, and I'm now going to share my screen with you. Bear with me. What can you see?
You.
You can see me.
Yes.
Am I? Okay. Right, I see what's going on. Right. And now? One second. Okay. Uh-huh. Right, can you see these photographs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so these photographs are my photographs. And what I decided to do was publish a photograph. Here's an example of what can happen. On the 1st of January, I decided to start a challenge. And my challenge was to create, to publish a photograph every day, a creative photograph of Paris, and with a text. So I wanted to, so I added a text to it as well. And then after a while, I realized the text was, I liked the text, but it was very long. I mean, it was too long for some people. So I thought, I receive these pictures with this, these sort of quotations on them. Mm-hmm. And I was sick of receiving them because they were always somebody else's words. It wasn't the person who was sending it to me who had written the quotation. So I thought I would write my own. So I started doing these sort of things. You see, for all my pictures, I now add a text. You don't have to read this. I'm just showing you that I do it on each one, you see? And this is to show people that if you do a little thing every day, it's amazing because now I started on the 1st of January. I do this every day. And I've now created, I'm on 285. I'm on number 285 of these. Can you imagine?
Wow.
It's huge for me. Yes. It's huge. It's a book. It's 285 really thought out articles on 285 topics with mm-hmm. 285 pictures. And now I'm moving towards 285 little quote things. So this is to show myself, to prove to myself that I can create something if I just do a little bit every day. Because I'm terrible for starting and stopping. But the reason I stuck with this and I didn't give up like I always do is because I love this. I love doing it. But that doesn't mean I can earn my living. But now my challenge is I've learned now that I have to stick with it because this I do with passion. Everything else I give up. And now I'm moving towards finding how can I use this to earn my living? And I think it'll happen. You know, I can use this. This is something I do. I do this to be creative. I'll inspire others to do it. And I'm hoping to be able to earn my living that way. So I won't actually talk about the things that I've said here. I'm just going to stop sharing, but I'll just get your feedback on that. And then we'll end this thing. So Annabelle, and then Dorothy, what do you think about this idea of creating a little thing every day and before you know, and focusing on each day?
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, it's amazing. You've actually created a really great body of work. Do you use this idea? Do you encourage people to do a little bit regularly?
I do. Mm. I always encourage to do even just the smallest thing towards whatever they want to work on. Because, as you said, before even realizing, you have been creating such a big amount of things that you haven't even been aware of that you're able to do at all. If you look back on whatever,
I have an example from your life.
Hmm?
Have you got a recent example for you that you've created something you're really amazed, you're really surprised you've actually created something?
Yes, I have a storybook, but I kind of stopped. So, but that's a good point. I think I need to do it again. So every day for months, I have been writing something for 10 minutes and I filled almost an entire book already. Mm. And I just spent like 10 minutes daily on writing. And that was just, if I look back on it, I'm like, wow, if someone would have told me, okay, write like 100 pages now, I would not have been able. I would have.
So what kept you going? Why didn't you stop until you stopped?
Because I just had fun doing it.
Okay. Mm. And did that teach you something? Or are you actually going to use that somehow in the future? Or did it give you a good life lesson?
Maybe I'm going to use it in the future.
Mm. Mm.
Some sort of inspiration.
And it can also serve as an example for yourself and for others. If you show people this thing with 100 pages, that stays with people. People talking is cool, but if you show them something and you say, I did that by spending 10 minutes a day, let's spend the next week, you do something for 10 minutes a day and see what happens after a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorothy, do you have an example of anything like that?
What I went to the Speak and Inspire course, so I made some videos every day, but I didn't post everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the task anyway. And I do write a little. I write a bit every day. But now I'm thinking maybe I should write the last year about the process, because I've been in a big process, and put words on the photos because I have some pictures. So maybe I do too.
I think that's a good idea.
Yes, so I have a lot of pictures and I could put some words, do something.
And also, it's very easy to put them together into a book today.
Yeah.
And it feels like a thing, you know, it's something you can be proud of. And you just have to do a little bit every day. It's amazing.
Mm.
How do you feel at the end of the quest then? Are you surprised by what's happened after just like 30 days or?
I didn't finish.
Mm.
I stopped day 23 or something.
There's a club for that. I'm in it. It's a big club, huh? There's a lot of members.
Yeah.
But I'm planning on doing it again in November. This time.
The thing is, I don't really know what topics I can serve. The intention.
But you know, it's not about, it's not necessarily about finishing. It's about not feeling that you failed having done what you've done and moving forward. You don't have to do every, 30 days. It doesn't, just because they say it's 30 days, that's just a number. You know, you can do it in 50 days. You can do it all your life. You can, after 10 days, if you got, I think you got what you needed after 10 days, great.
Yeah.
I seem to need that quest after about between 10 and 15 days because that's where I stop. But I love it. So, go. I don't like the pressure of people telling me when I have to do it, but I like doing it. That's a funny thing. Let people do it their time. And they're good at this. They say, it doesn't matter. You don't have to do every assignment. You haven't failed if you miss a day. And I believe that, but a lot of people think they have. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Closing comments then on this. This was my first attempt. Well, I did it in French, as you know, Dorothy. And amazing. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming back, Dorothy, for more. Thanks for coming, Annabelle. Really appreciate it. Thanks to you, really. I'm doing it this time. I hope it'll continue. I'm looking forward to it. And really, it just doesn't matter. There's no worries. You can't fail. You just do it, and it's interesting and it's fun. So, any closing comments?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully,
it's nice to meet you both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of just those profile pictures, boom, in wherever they were taken. Okay, so that's going to be it. That's the format, more or less. As more people come on the calls from week to week, it'll be possibly more structured. People will get to know the format. And that's just my trial format. Who knows? Maybe I've done. It'll give you ideas if you want to do something similar or decide to do it not that way at all. It doesn't matter at all, does it? It's just exposing ourselves to new ideas. And then that'll give us new ideas and we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Action rather than inaction. That's another of my mottos. And that's it. The end.
This
time. The end of this call and the beginning of the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
It's always the beginning of the rest of our lives, isn't it? Always.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm going to get on with the rest of my life now. So, thank you very much. It was great.
Thank you, and bye.
And see you again soon.
Yes.
Bye.
On your adventures that you create, or on mine, or a combination of both. Bye-bye for now. See you soon. Bye.